There's this phrase, elections have consequences. PAC directors just need to add two words, for us.
Welcome back to the Facts About PACs podcast. I'm Michaela Isler, NAPAC's executive director, and I'm joined today by David Schild and Adam Belmar. Welcome to the second quarter of 2024, my friends.
Yes, the time of year when flowers bloom, birds chirp, baseballs fly, and Uncle Sam gets the big checks.
Adam, my accountant tells me there is no standard deduction for funny man podcaster. I think we would all agree the American tax code is broken. I look forward to a revolution.
Well, that's certainly a category of contribution request that does not require prior approval.
Hi-o!
There we go.
And speaking of requests, I am delighted to share that Amy Showalter has accepted ours to rejoin the number one PAC podcast in America to share her hot take on a significant piece of opinion research that directly pertains to our community.
Yeah, that's right, Adam. Weber Shanwick did some research and examined American consumer and employee opinions on the role that businesses play in national elections, something we've talked a lot about here at NAPAC. And they conducted an online survey of 1,000 U.S. adults. And coming up, we're going to share the key findings and how PAC directors can best use them in their work.
The Facts About PACs podcast is produced especially for the members of the National Association of Business Political Action Committees. In every episode, we recap this week's NAPAC activities, share actionable intelligence and best practices, all while connecting the PAC community, Michaela.
Thanks, Adam. Oh my gosh, we are kicking off this second quarter with just a lot going on. I know you are aware we just wrapped up a really fantastic workshop with our friends over at the Business for America. Had lots of very interesting conversations about the future of this election and how all of us can be better prepared. Looking ahead, next week, we have our monthly luncheon. We're back upstairs on the 7th floor talking about how voter registration programs can really benefit your PAC programs. We also have coming up next month our ever popular lunch with David Wasserman. So I just wanted to flag that for folks as well. Well, let's make our way into the ever busy and often dangerous intersection of business and politics. And for that, we welcome back our good friend, Amy Showalter, who joins us from an undisclosed location inside the path of totality of this week's solar eclipse.
Yes. Hey, thank you for having me. Good to spend time with you today. And we hope that people won't have a curiosity eclipse or a mental eclipse when it comes to looking at certain research results, and that we continue to be curious and read between the research lines and so forth as we look at different findings on business and politics.
Amy, this is really a fascinating study, and I know we're going to dive deep into its conclusions and what they mean for actionable intelligence for the PAC community. But let's back up for a second and say, why does a PAC director need to be reading this kind of research?
Yes, well, it's always important to know what public opinion is to see if it's trickling into your organization. You know, that's a piece of it. So I think a lot of times we see research and we take that as the gospel truth and we run with it and we let our team and our PAC board and different people know about this. And sometimes it even trickles into your messaging on your PAC, and people, they take these broad findings and extrapolate those to their company, but their company hasn't been surveyed and their company context and situations are very different. And so it's always good to be aware of what's out there.
So let's dive in a little bit on the survey's key findings. Amy, 44% of respondents somewhat agreed with the statement that businesses are a constructive force for positive change. 25% of respondents strongly agreed with that statement. 75% of employees and 68% of consumers said businesses should help find common ground to bridge societal decisions. 72% of consumers and 71% of employees said the workplace should be kept politically neutral during this election year. I thought this was interesting too. You know, 81% of employees, 80% of consumers, some agreement here. American businesses should encourage a free and fair election. And finally, 25% of employees and 23% of consumers said that American businesses should endorse candidates. So, Amy, can you help us appreciate the shifting landscape that these numbers represent?
Sure. What we found, particularly in 2020, 2021, there was a plethora of research showing that consumers and employees wanted business leaders, businesses to take a more active stand in politics and particularly social issues, societal challenges, and so forth. We saw this in the Edelman trust barometer. That was a prominent finding there. What's interesting about this is that they said 75% of employees said businesses should help find common ground. However, if you read between the research lines on that, 30% said only if it helps the business. So when I think about helping the business, what does that mean? It could mean, I'm going to assume that it means helping the business make money. So if it's aligned, if that societal issue is aligned with the company's financial goals, that can make a lot more sense. People are more supportive of that. What happened in the past when this type of research came out was there wasn't a more granular type of question. They didn't have the follow-up questions as much. But you think about companies like even a Ben & Jerry's that's always been involved in social issues of everything. So it's every kind. So it's not unusual to see them speak out. Patagonia is another one, very much aligned with environmental issues, but that's so tightly in with their business model and what they do. And so it makes a lot of sense. And we also found in this research that I think 10% of people said, no, business shouldn't be involved unless it aligns with the business outcomes. See, so that's a big caveat there. If it aligns with the business issues, that's where things, I believe, are moving because consumers and employees have realized that, gosh, I guess my business leaders and my business, the place I work, perhaps they don't always agree with my personal values. And so I think employees have had second thoughts on some of this. And we found that with our proprietary client research as well. When you ask the question of people in a certain, when you ask them whether they can be involved in the societal issues or if more time should be spent on business issues, generally people who give to the pack, and this is where the pack comes in, will say, yeah, I think they should be more involved in things that affect our business more than societal issues. We found that to be a predictor in some companies of pack engagement, that attitude.
Showalter, I feel like this is resonant for us in the pack space because asking a broad question without defined terms leads you to results that are hard to truly unpack and understand. If benefiting the business versus societal issues is what you're really trying to dig in on, you have to do further questions, further findings, and you're helping us understand that employees themselves who were a part of this group of Americans who were polled really need clarity. And we know this in our own communication that we've got to be quite clear about what we're talking about in order to really get at actionable understanding of what our stakeholders feel.
You are correct, Belmar. And this is a great opportunity for pack leaders because they can help define some of these terms. For example, the survey asked employees if they think that their employers should advocate for specific issues that affect the business. Well, to those of us in our profession, we're thinking, heck yes, of course, they should do that. But 56% said, yeah, they should do that. But only 40% agreed that employers should, quote, lobby elected officials on issues that can help the business. Well, to those of us, again, in this profession, advocate and lobby are pretty much the same thing. Those are the same outcomes. When you lobby, you advocate. When you advocate, you're lobbying. So it's very, very similar. And I find, though, that there's obviously words mean things and employees view these things differently. So again, maybe different in your company. Don't take this as the gospel truth, but maybe it's something to examine in your company. How do people feel about that? And do people who feel that lobbying is advocacy and advocacy is lobbying, are they more likely to be PAC contributors than not? You know, people who have a greater understanding of that. So you may find that those who understand those are the same things, lobbying is not a bad thing, advocacy is not a bad thing, that they have more allegiance to the company and therefore are more likely to be a PAC contributor. And you can help educate them on that as well, that they are indeed the same thing.
Yeah. Amy, these results really speak to the need, I think, for education of your PAC eligibles writ large, because what people seem to be saying is, I sure think my business should, you know, work on bridging societal divisions, promoting free and fair elections. And then when you get into candidate specific answers, right, that the support levels drop. But of course, a PAC is constrained in what it can do, right? I don't know of any PAC in America who says our mission is to heal societal divisions. Almost all of them would come down and say, the PAC is here to advance the interests of our organization. And so, I mean, how important is it to start with what can a PAC legally and not legally do? What is our mission and what is not our mission? Because there are tremendous levels of support here for things that I don't think as a PAC director, it's in my remit to address.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. And I believe, again, that what happens is we tend to, it's flattering, is it not, to have employees or consumers say, yes, business should solve these issues, or business leaders should solve these issues. You need to be involved in that. And political issues are societal issues, social issues are political, and so forth. So we tend to get very wrapped up in it and think, yeah, we can do that. We can be a part of this as well. And because part of it's flattering for people to think that we can solve that, we can do this. And so a little bit of it's corporate organizational ego and that gets involved in this to a degree. I think it's why people take it and run with it and want to integrate it into their PAC discussions and criteria and things of that nature. And that's, you know, every company is different. That's why you need to be very aware of where your PAC eligible audience stands and how they think and feel. Feel is important. People are feeling animals, not just thinking, feel about these issues and so forth.
You know, there's one, I'm looking at these findings. There's one delta that really jumps out at me, which is 25% of those surveyed thought that candidates should endorse. And you have made in your writing some great points about, look, a PAC contribution is a kind of endorsement, right? Whether we're talking about the legal definition of endorsement, how do we get to a place where you square that circle? Only 1 in 4 people think we should endorse candidates, but we have this PAC and its reason for existing is to support candidates for office. That seems like a big gulf that we've got to bridge.
Yes, I'm reading between the lines a little myself here on this particular answer and thinking that the employees may assume that an endorsement means, again, this is where definitions and terms are important and PAC directors and so forth helping educate, that those employees might believe that endorsement means that the ABC company urges you to vote for this presidential candidate or this congressional candidate, and they're taking out ads and so if we look at endorsement broadly like that, yes, they're saying, no, don't do that. But as we, and in the PAC community, when we use the word endorse, I mean, you're right, David, obviously that's not a PAC contribution isn't the legal definition of endorsement, but a PAC contribution is a public declaration that your organization supports a particular candidate. So, you know, terms, right? Words mean things and it's important. I suspect that this question probably could have been asked with a little more specificity to provide clarity with this, because it almost looks like if someone was not pro PAC in an organization, they could look at this and think, oh, well, this means that we shouldn't be giving PAC contributions because that's a public endorsement. And they twist it to meet their own agenda and their own ends. But again, it's not academic and it's not peer reviewed. And so, but it says some things that people like. So we need to examine it closely because it doesn't mean that that's what is happening in your organization. It's just a good clarion call to be aware of what's happening in your organization with your employees.
Exactly. And we should never be afraid of findings. We need to ask, how were they arrived at? Who did they speak to? What was the construct? And in this case, which I think is so very interesting, is that these were consumers, customers, and employees, just broadly, not in any solicitable class per se. And when they talk about companies hosting candidates or companies endorsing candidates, we're talking specifically about employee-funded and business trade association PACs, voluntary contributions by employees in the solicitable class who want to support candidates who are aligned with their business. That is not the same as a brand making a public endorsement. It's an employee-funded PAC making a contribution to a candidate for elected office. And I think that all of these things need to be skewed a little bit through the lens of a PAC director when we say, okay, that's what perceptions are. I can understand that. We can frame them with our audience as we give them ever more information about what our mission is, about what things are about. And one of the things that stuck out for me, David, I don't know if this stuck out for you, was a little bit about whether companies should be hosting candidates at their mm-hmm. facilities, bringing yeah. people who represent the constituency that works in your employment to what they do for a living.
Adam, I read this survey and like I had so many questions and I was like, man, I got to sit down and have a wine cooler with some of these respondents because this is like so curious. First, you don't want elected officials coming to your facility? Like who doesn't want to see them walk the assembly line? Who doesn't want to have them meet the team? I read that as, oh, I don't want them coming in and begging for votes in the cafeteria. And I hope that's my own perspective there being, you know, written across the audience. But the other one that jumped out to me was basically half of consumers and employees saying, yeah, we're not sure about encouraging employees to participate in the election. Now, we talk a lot on this show about GOTV efforts. We tell PAC professionals all the time that there are turnkey off-the-shelf solutions. You should get your people to the polls. This is another duty for a PAC director. And then half of the people say, no, I don't want that. I hope I'm not misreading that because I think GOTV is great.
David, I love that point. And Showalter, when I read your work so often through Amyisms or your analysis of a poll, a research poll like this, it sparks me into a higher rate of pulse because people seem to want broadly in this research neutrality. The survey found that 71% of employees felt that employers should keep the workplace politically neutral during the presidential election year. And I'm wondering, is that just at the presidential level, which I think as PAC directors, we agree with, but being neutral is not being action oriented. And we are political action committees, employee funded ones at that. And we want to see the support for candidates who are supporting the issues that matter to our business and our customers.
Well, Belmar, I don't want your pulse rate to go very high on this. Don't get too upset on that. But yeah, politically neutral, that's very intriguing to me as well. Again, represents an opportunity if you as a PAC director find this kind of attitude in your organization. Because the first thing I thought when I read that was, what does neutral mean? What does that mean? What is politically, you know, every company has issues that are political, even if they seem very mundane and very technical and in the regulatory sphere, they're still political. But people have these perceptions of it. So it's important to help define that. And I like people to always look at behavioral terms when they look at that, when they say politically neutral. Well, what kind of behaviors are we talking about in that? And you all may remember the ill-fated Goodyear example from 2020, where I believe it was, I don't know if it was someone in HR, I'm not exactly sure because they didn't want to be known, I don't think, on this too much, but they showed them in a meeting telling people the clothing they could wear and not wear that was considered overtly political and not political. And you can imagine they were very far to the right and to the left in these examples of clothing, t-shirts, slogans, hats, and so forth that you could and could not wear in the workplace. Well, this created a real firestorm. And I think at the time Trump got involved and told people not to buy Goodyear tires, you know, all of that that goes along with it. So there was no proper definitions there. And so you want to really look at behavioral terms. If you find in your organization that people prefer political neutrality, that's an opportunity for education, as it always is. And then it's an opportunity to provide your guidance as an expert inside your organization as to these are the behaviors that we would perceive as overtly political. The Political Action Committee Board of Directors meeting to determine who to contribute funds to is not considered that type of behavior. Demoting an employee because they said they voted for one candidate or another is probably that. So it's helpful to describe things in behavioral terms, I think, for people. And the PAC directors, advocacy folks are perfectly positioned to do that because you are on the front lines with those communications.
Yeah, level setting all the way around. David Schild last week on this podcast reminded everybody in our audience that you are a home run hitter if you're finding the 2 or 3 people out of 10 who want to participate in your employee funded PAC. Those are benchmarks and industry standards. But what you can do with that and build from there, you know, you have like-minded people who want to be involved in the PAC and the mission. And when we drill down to the people that are in our PAC and what motivates them and what they're about, we find alignment. And we also find a lot of misunderstanding and broad assumptions with vaguely or even broadly worded questions that go to a mix of Americans. So every poll you see, I think, David, can be translated through that lens of a PAC director with also understanding that not everybody is in our audience who's getting to weigh in on how they feel about these issues.
Yeah, we talk about it on the show all the time, but you know, you have to get used to rejection. You have to get used to differing opinions. But you know, something I thought as I read this was, there's this phrase, elections have consequences. PAC directors just need to add 2 words, for us. Elections have consequences for us because that's the reason that we're doing this. What happens on election day does hit our bottom line. It does hit our ability to build things, innovate, employ people, operate. And if that connection isn't being made, you as a PAC director have to make it.
Well, Amy Showalter, we are always so grateful to have you back on the show. Really appreciate your insights. And thank you so much for the context as well, tailored for specifically the PAC community.
You are most welcome. It's good to spend time with all of you. And I urge my PAC friends to evaluate as needed, recalibrate, and then celebrate, because you're going to have good results when you take the time to do that. Good things come to those who work, my friends. So work at it and you'll be successful.
That's great.
And thanks to everyone downloading and sharing the Facts About PACs podcast. Subscribe and meet us right back here next week.